To qualify that, if you're kind of new to the Christian world, that's code for life sucks. Is there anybody else where the last few weeks, actually, or maybe the last year, health, has it been hard? Yeah, I can see some heads nodding. Well, you're not alone. But sometimes it's easy to look around and find someone who's in a worse place. But even that's not that helpful, because your situation is different to their situation. My situation is different to your situation, my reality. We each left in our own individual place, where deep down one can become overwhelmed. This became evident for me 2 weeks ago when I was away at a pastor's retreat where we all get to cry on each other's shoulders. I had some people praying for me. And as I cried out to God around the issue that's been hitting us as a family, as we've been broken into three times in the last little while, it's confusion, anger, frustration. And it was like a dam bursting. And the devil, he got it all. I was mad. Well, today I hope that the next line we look at in the Apostles' Creed will in some way speak to you in your place of pain and confusion, as it is spoken to me. Just to recap, this is a series that sits alongside or within our mission of focusing on the mission of God and being His people. The Apostles' Creed is a series of statements of faith. In other words, statements made by faith, declaring our faith, declaring what we believe. These statements are all drawn from Scripture, and the church has used them in one form or another from the beginning of the church 2,000 years ago. They help hold us to the core tenets of our faith. Each element helps form our understanding of God, our understanding of the church, and they're used in one form or another to shape how we are to respond to the world around us. They're not just all future-looking, and they're not all past-looking. They can affect how we engage with the world around us today. Let's read from the Bible where today's creed line was drawn from. Was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We're reading from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord your God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fall or fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word, your spoken word right there for Mary. and given to us in the scriptures, passed down from generation to generation, so that we too may marvel at the way that your Holy Spirit moves amongst us. Lord, as we listen to this story once again, may it mold us, shape us, help us understand again who you are, what you have done. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Does anybody remember the not the 9 o'clock news? They did a skit some time ago on the reading of the modern version of the creed. This line that we're looking at this morning goes something like this: conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. No, don't laugh. It could happen. I mean, they can do it in a test tube these days, so that proves it, doesn't it? Why is it important? Why is it important? What would it matter if, in fact, that Joseph was the father? If, as in the modern version states, Jesus was just great. Obviously a fantastic bloke, and historically did exist around that time. Well, if Jesus was just a bloke, then just a bloke died for your sins. And that would have no eternal value at all. Rather, God died for your sins. Not a human that had reached a zenith in spiritual evolution, but God born as a human. The God who came down into our mess. Not choosing to come in glory and splendor, but rather into shame and oppression. Mary was a nobody. In this cultural setting, as she so eloquently sung, he has been mindful of the state of this humble servant, a woman from nowhere, no famous lineage of her own, and the Holy Spirit overshadows her. Her response, beautiful. How can this be? I've not been with a man. All throughout Israel's history, this is how God saved his people. To one who could not have children, the God of the impossible makes possible. Isaac, born of a barren woman, Sarah, who is listed in the heroes of faith found in Hebrews 11. Samuel, the prophet, born of a barren woman, Hannah. John the Baptist, born of a barren woman, Elizabeth. These are just a couple examples. The Bible is full of God intervening in women's lives miraculously to bring about purposes, his purposes, in saving the nation of Israel. Yet while this barrier to infertility is an acceptable miracle to us, for many, the miracle of a virgin barrier is not. This seems too much. As Rowan Atkinson said, no, don't laugh. For in human terms, it is laughable, but not for the God of the impossible. Mary's response, I think, was telling. She believed that it was to be as the angel said. The human response, the traditional response, in line with all the miracles that had happened previously, it was to be fulfilled by the seed coming from a man. Yet Mary knew that that was not going to be the case. She did not say, so this will be fulfilled in 12 months after I'm married? Is that how it's going to happen? No. No, the puzzlement was definitely on the how. For she was a virgin, yet she took the angel's word as effective now. The faith of Mary took her into a world of dichotomy, one of joy at the news that she would carry Jesus, which she is told meant Savior. But there would also have been pain. The shame she must have gone through, the whispers she and her husband, her son, would have endured. She was probably a young girl of 12 to 13, is what has been suggested. Just like the woman bought before Jesus by the Pharisees that Monique talked about a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember that occasion? I bet you Jesus thought of his mother when he saw that young girl dragged before him in the crowd around her. Remembering the accusations against his mother and that what she had endured. And that is how the world would have you consider the tale of Mary and her situation. That Joseph knocked her up. Which is why Luke goes to great pains to lay a foundation to the impossible claim, building the story up by first stating at the start of the chapter, "I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." Luke takes great pains to show the groundwork of the Holy Spirit in preparing the way with stories of signs and wonders, angels, faithful prophets and priests, heavenly hosts, a new star in the sky. In our unbelief, we try to move away from these unquantifiable, unconfirmable events. Through our own unbelief, we seek to limit the power of God to make him conform, to act within the boundaries that we are comfortable with ascribing him. But he shatters our boundaries. Three times Luke states Mary's position as a virgin. He leaves no wiggle room. Our God is the God of the impossible. Such is the power of the Holy Spirit. I love it. Jesus, Son of God, has come to earth, moved into a position of utmost vulnerability at a time that demands he flee as a child, becoming a refugee. He comes at a time not when Israel is operating from a base of power and wealth like the time of King Solomon, the envy of the world. No, he comes when all power is stripped away, and that is when his glory is revealed. That is when God is seen at work. This is a lesson here, I think, that we need to learn. Will we seek to extend the kingdom of God through wealth and privileged authority? No. That is not the way of the kingdom. That is not how Jesus operated. What spaces might Christ be inviting you to stand that require you to humble yourself as Christ was humbled? As God's people, we hold to an impossible story that our Savior Jesus came from a virgin. It's a great story. It immediately puts us on the back foot, making us an easy target. This is where Jesus invites us to stand. For it is not our cleverness. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. Our faith calls on us to defend the indefensible. At least indefensible when our minds and hearts remain down here with no heavenly perspective. And that's the point. To believe, we have to surrender our human dictated limitations and allow the impossible to be made known. Born of a virgin through the power of the Spirit. What miracle do you require? What impossible situation have you found yourself that perhaps you've given up on? For me, can the very neighbors that I think are breaking into my home Sunday after Sunday as I stand here become the brothers and sisters in Christ that I long for? One day, can I leave my front door open for all who have need to come and help themselves to my fridge? By the power of the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary. That's what my God does. He does the impossible. That's what my God does. He humbles himself. That's what my God does. He gives of himself fully. That's the good news. That's the good news about Jesus. A God that shatters the norm, that creates a new way. I don't know what miracle you need. But that's what our God does. He comes into our mess, and sometimes he totally reworks it. Where miraculous things happen in an instant, bam, you're pregnant. Bam, you're healed. Bam, you get free from that addiction. Other times the miracle is his constant presence as you live in the pain, with the pain. In either setting, no matter the shape of the miracle, will you trust him? And like Mary, will you praise him? I want to invite you to do that now. Thanks, Dale. Like Mary, let's praise him for sending his son, who chose to live in our mess, not waiting for us to heal and save ourselves, but came to save us himself. That's worth singing about. We live because of the power of the Holy Spirit, who overshadowed the Virgin Mary. That's great news. We have an amazing God. Let's sing.